Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank Robert Karp for coming down here to to talk about the medical marijuana dispensaries issue. And thank you for the folks who called, and also brought to City Councilor Dennis DiNapoli giving his input. Any closing thoughts? I know you had to kind of step out for half a second.
Yeah, no, I think it's a topic that's coming. It's coming to Massachusetts, and we got to talk about it. Mm. You know, I think it's kind of like an elephant in the room for a lot of these communities. They don't want to talk about it, even though it's going to happen. But you know what? Having people that know the most about it are the people that you want to talk to, because when it comes to your community, you're going to want to know everything you can.
Just a quick note. Don't forget, though, we have joining us probably at around 7:30-ish, Congressman Stephen Lynch. As folks may know, he is running for U.S. Senate, facing off against Edward Markey. We'll have him, and also we'll speak with comedian Tony V. Quick note, some of our sponsors that we want to thank, S-Bank, where success starts with an S. Don't forget that they have branches in Weymouth, Hanover, East Bridgewater, and Quincy. Online at s-bank.com. Also, Life Care Centers of the South Shore on the Driftway in Scituate. Post-operative recovery, subacute care, and in-house rehabilitation services. Call for a tour today at 781-545-1370. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman. McGuigan'sPub.com. Of course, don't forget this coming Sunday, it is St. Patrick's Day, and of course, they have all kinds of entertainment going on. Check out their website at McGuigan'sPub.com. We get to coming up, I believe, in a moment. Do we have Junior D'Amato on the line? Junior, are you there?
We are here.
Of course, I have to tell you, Junior, that when I just barely utter your name, of course, my good friend and yours, Joe Rossi, gets excited because the first thing that pops into his head is what's going wrong with his automobile. So we get a chance to hear some of the things that are going on with Joe's vehicle and get your thoughts on it.
Well, good morning and good afternoon, everybody. And Joe, how are you?
I'd be doing a lot better if there wasn't an 8-foot-tall snowbank in front of my garage door. You know, my car goes away for the winter, but I didn't want it to be away all spring too.
You know what? It'll be out before you know it. we had our first people in the lake Sunday out there fishing with their little motorboats. So that's pretty good.
You know, I do have a question for you. You know, every time you call, I seem to have a issue with my vehicles, one of them, and my most recent issue is basically, bottom line, without going into the whole thing, is my truck needs a new fuel filter and needs new plugs and wires. Now, I have an F-250, and I recently did all the brakes myself. Every single one of them, I did it in my garage, including replacing the rear calipers. However, how hard is it to do plugs and wires on a truck?
Well, first of all, what year is this race truck of yours?
It's a 2002, and this is a workhorse.
Yeah. Does your particular vehicle actually have spark plug wires, or is it a coil on spark plug?
You know, that I haven't actually looked.
Well, that you're going to find out, because most of those have what they call coil on spark plug, and you know, as long as it's not a three valve motor, the old Triton. The Triton motor, they call it, which was three valves per cylinder, you're pretty much guaranteed to break spark plugs off in the cylinder heads because of the, get this now, this is for everybody, the two-piece design factory spark plug. Now, just to give you an idea, when you go and you break one of these spark plugs off in the aluminum cylinder head, it's about an hour on average, to a little more per spark plug to get the broken spark plug out. Oof. With a special tool that's been designed by our fine friends at Ford. Then Lyle, which is another tool company, got the light bulb going a little brighter, redesigned it a little bit. And we see that an awful lot. And it's really a bummer. And, you know, I'm a real straight shooter when it comes to vehicles. And this is one engine that they should have put a recall out on the spark plug installation, because it is one big problem.
Huh.
It could be a real nightmare. But getting back to your vehicle, your car may not have spark plug wires. It may just have coil on plug, which is very easy. You unplug the coil, each one of them, one at a time, of course, and you get a 7-millimeter, you know, socket ratchet extension, and you pull the coil out, and then you pull the spark plug out, and you put your new plug in, and then you put a little dielectric grease around the coil, and you put that back in, and you're good to go.
I have to say, is just, you know, nowadays with the newer cars that are out there and the technology from, you know, our mom and dad's cars, we had spark plugs, spark plug wires, and, you know, different ways to, you know, the way that an engine is built these days is different, and cars are different. You, as always, get a chance to drive cars on a regular basis, new cars. I guess recently you had a chance to drive the new Subaru.
Let me tell you, you know, these guys at Subaru at Fuji Industries, they had, you know, a vehicle that used to come over on the boat, and if you listened real carefully, you could hear the thing rusting on the boat. They had a convertible that if you put the top down, the body would actually spread. And if you hit the train tracks hard enough with the top buckled in place, the top would automatically unbuckle. That was then. And if you want to throw that in, you might as well talk about the Pinto and the Vega, you know, and some of the Chevette models. And, you know, these were junks back in the day. We just got out of a 2014 Subaru, and I got to tell you, I was blown away how really nice this vehicle was. The new 2014 has a continual variable transmission. We had the baby little Forester with a automatic, the CVT transmission, and a little normally aspirated engine that developed somewhere around, oh, I'm going to say about 170 horsepower. Mm. They do make a turbo model, 250 horsepower in a Subaru. Now, the thing about Subaru, it always sounds like a little mix master because the exhaust was rattling around and all that crap. And I got to tell you, they really did a nice job on this car all around. And you're going to pay for it, too. The prices of on these little cars have jumped up to about 30 large plus. And this is the Forester. This isn't the big Outback, you know? Mm. It really is a nice, nice car. It has grown up into a fabulous vehicle, and they have what they call an X-Mode system. Remember they used to talk about symmetrical all-wheel drive? Now we have the X-Mode system, which is basically for going off-road, but ever so easily. I mean, you're not going to go pull a big boat, pull a trailer. You might get a snowmobile. To pull two snowmobiles, I think that would be stretching it. To pull a little rowboat, that would be fine. One jet ski, maybe, one snowmobile, but that's about it. But for moving four people with comfort, all-wheel drive confidence, lane departure, they did a great job in this car, I got to tell you.
Well, I got to ask you, and that is what does this list for, and do you think it's worth the money?
Oh, it's no question. It's in the 30s, low 30s,
okay,
like pretty much everything else, and it really was a really, really nice vehicle. Then we had a new Lexus. You've seen this one on television. It's called the RX 350 Sport. R Sport, I guess they call it. F Sport. And you know, what they did is they took a little regular, everyday RX 350, and they tricked it out a little bit, different wheels, tires, and, you know, some other stuff. And they did a nice job. But you're going to pay 52 large for that vehicle.
Now, you've also had a chance to drive it. You had a chance to drive the new Explorer. Now, how has the new Explorer changed?
Well, you look at the new Explorer, it is new, and we had the six-cylinder twin turbo that I think, if you want to, you know, make a little wager with Joe Rossi for some fried clams, I think we'll blow Joe Rossi off. This thing thought it was a big V8.
No.
Really amazing.
Well, don't tell Joe that. Joe is of that age where he'd want to get out and kind of prove it.
Now, let's get to one more thing, because Joe loves Chrysler products.
He does.
I do.
We had a Jeep Overland last week. We've been getting more vehicles because of the snow evaluations of the four-wheel and all-wheel drive vehicles.
Yes.
The Jeep, you know, Grand Cherokee Overland with the basic Hemi V8 engine, 5.7 liter, a 6-speed automatic transmission with all the bells and whistles. Nice vehicle. If you wanted to complain about any of these later model vehicles, I can complain about not being able to really read the mileage, the radio stations, and some of the displays are a bit on the tiny side, with the exception of the Jeep that has a big, big, big display screen. But again, when you're looking at the mileage, even the Jeep mileage in the center of the dash cluster, it's a bit on the tiny side. But you're going to pay for this little Jeep that's loaded with all bells and whistles, a sticker price of just about 51,000 buckos. And, you know, of course, they're going to, you know, you could beat them up quite a bit on the sticker price. And one
Hey,
car which I was amazed
Kevin.
At was the new...
Hold on.
Kevin Tachi.
Hold on, caller.
Real quickly,
I'm already on. I'm not holding on.
The new Jetta hybrid. I was not even aware that Volkswagen did a hybrid vehicle. And again, I was amazed of just how nice this vehicle was and how it worked out for about $30,000.
All right.
You know,
Who do we have on the line?
This is the former host of the show.
Oh, what's up, former host? You have a question for Junior D'Amato?
You know, I've been hearing him with some frequency on with you talk about all this modern technology. I want to get his take. First of all, I want to know if he's ever driven a 1948 Tucker, and I want to get his take on that car. We talked about it last week.
Junior, did you hear that? Did you hear the question?
The closest to a Tucker was my 1951 Chevrolet, a little stick shift three in the tree. That's the closest I've come to one of his old Tuckers. I have fun around with a couple of the old Model Ts that consumers of mine, customers have had, and I got to tell you, it's amazing how far we've come from those years. But the Tucker was one of the vehicles that, you know, you turn the steering wheel on some of those Tucker models, and the headlight would follow the steering wheel to turn. It was years, light years ahead of its time, as was, and don't laugh, the AMC Gremlin.
Ooh. Wow, I don't know if I want to compare the Tucker to the Gremlin, but I just wanted to get your take, Junior. You're an automotive expert, where the Tucker would kind of rank the pantheon all time of cars in the context of its generation.
It was light years ahead of the generation, number one, and a lot of people really couldn't grasp all of the technology that was back then that, you know, we look at today and we say, wow, this thing was really, really advanced back in the day. It's amazing. And if you want to go back into the 60s, you know, you look at some of these Volkswagen Vanagons, the old Volkswagens, these things had fuel injection. And I got to tell you, when I was a kid, what's fuel injection? You know, give me a carburetor, you know, and, you know, the evidence is just great. It's just crazy what we've seen over the past, you know, 35 or 40 years evolve.
Hold on, Junior. Bob, do you have your radio up?
I'm going to let you guys finish the conversation.
Thank you, Bob.
Good talking with you, Mr. Bob.
There was State Senator Bob Hedlund. He usually... It takes a lot for him, other than to call in and do our segment. If he called in and had put a question to you, then he likes you.
But it was very, very, very good back in that day.
You know, I guess, Junior, my next question would be, you know, if you're talking, you know, we talked about just a second ago the Tucker being ahead of its time. What car today would you say is ahead of its time?
It's a good question.
Well, that's a great question. Everything right now, Mr. Rossi, is pretty much on track. Again, the Subaru that we just talked about, you know, 5 years ago, I never would have thought they would get to where they are as they are today. One car that I'm a little bit disappointed on today, and I thought they would have done a whole lot more with it, is the new Cadillac XTS and the ATS. I would have expected a little bit more from a Cadillac. I mean, a four-cylinder with a turbocharger or a V6. I mean, I just don't see that in these vehicles. I understand the tree huggers, the greenness, and, you know, trying to you know, get as much power for the buck as you can. But, you know, I think you have to look at the root system of where we are, where we need to be. Cadillac had some really good vehicles for a while, and then they have now, you know, dwindled down to it. The only V8 beside the truck you can get, the truck models, is that CTS-V, which is basically based on a supercharged Corvette motor.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's crazy what we're seeing. And speaking of that, the new Corvette's out, and it's getting rave reviews.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yep, it's getting rave reviews from people that have, in the industry. I think it's really nice. I'm really not sold on that electronic laser-based dashboard. Unlike having regular needles that move,
everything
now, everything is now like a plasma-type screen, or whatever they're calling it, and you can change it and blah, blah, blah. But the Corvette's going to be an interesting car. Again, it's an affordable car with plenty of power, and look for the convertible to be publicly shown. There's some sneak shots of it sometime and within the next probably 6 months. We'll see some good shots of the convertible. And the new Corvette, my buddy just ordered one. He's number 67th on the list.
Huh.
And McGulkin, I think this is McGulkin, McQuilkin Chevrolet up in New Hampshire, is now, believe it or not, the number one Corvette dealer in the country.
Goodness.
Oh. He beat everybody, California, Jersey, Florida. And this guy is selling some big number vehicles. He's not worried about making lots and lots of money. He's just building up his allocation, making a minimal amount of money on these Corvettes and not going over the sticker price on the new ones. And God bless the kid.
Well, looking outside, it wouldn't prove to be true. I know that the Groundhog not too long ago said that we were going to have an early spring. Spring is just right around the corner. Is there anything that we should be preparing for as far as when it comes to our automobile and taking care of it?
You know, it's a great question, because as soon as spring rolls around, daylight savings time is in effect. You know, we get home at night, we have a little bit of extra time, and we end up, going to the garage or opening up the hood of the car, opening the garage door, and voila, it's not freezing, it's nice sweatshirt weather, and you can actually look to see what's going on in and around your vehicle. Get those floor mats out of the car, hang them up, put them downstairs, do something with them, and let the carpeting actually breathe. And if the carpeting is wet, no big deal to pull those little sill plates up if you have to, and you can actually dry it off. Well, I'm just going to use a hair dryer and keep drying from the top down. A lot of times that won't work because we have what they call jute underneath the rug. That's what makes it a little bit soft.
Mm-hmm.
And once that gets wet, in some cases, it's pretty difficult to dry it out. But if you have to, you have to. But, you know, blowing it with air or a hair dryer does make a difference, as well as lifting up that carpet. Remove those little sill plates on either side of the cars when you open the doors. Those things sometimes can just be pulled up very easy. If you're not sure, ask your mechanic, ask your technician how to remove those sill plates so you can lift the rug up and maybe put a small piece of 2x4 or a brick underneath the mat to help air get in there and dry it out so there's not a problem. Same thing in the trunk. Get into the trunk, open that cover where the spare tire is. Yeah, we have spare tires. Jerry Williams would be so happy with the car dealers today. They still have that itsy-bitsy donut tire, but at least a lot of cars still have them, and they've gotten a little bit larger over the years.
I would ask you, what's the importance of making sure you open the hood from time to time? I know some people who the only time they'd worry about opening the hood is if the car wouldn't start or if there's a serious problem. Is it something that if you have a vehicle, you should check under the hood if it's not once a week? Maybe twice a month? Is there a rhyme or a reason?
It's something that really should be done, because what you need to do is just look to see if there's anything that has started leaking anywhere, number one. And take a look at the antifreeze, the reservoir container. And, you know, to check the oil, you don't have to have a brain science degree in technology to check the oil, unless you have a high-end car, which you do from the front seat of your car by going through the dashboard. They do a lot of these cars, some of the new cars do not have engine oil dipsticks to check the oil.
Mm.
It's done by a sensor in the oil pan by your steering wheel hub controls.
You know, not only do I look under my hood, I clean under my hood.
You know what? More power to you. Speaking about that, one thing that we kind of shy away from, and we certainly don't encourage, is for people to steam clean engines anymore.
Mm.
Unless you have an area that needs to be done. What you don't want to do is start washing from the top down if you don't have to. Just wash the bottom part of it off if you have to, because what happens is water and moisture can get into some of these areas of the ignition system, and you don't need that.
You know what I did, Junior, right before the winter, is I actually went out and bought a simple engine cleanser. It was like a spray. They recommended to spray it over the whole engine, let it sit, wash the engine down, and then let the engine run and have the rest kind of burn off.
Well, that's okay, but again, one thing that you don't want to do is drown that poor engine with water. And if you are, you got to maybe try to blow it off with air as soon as you can, or start it up, and like you say, let it run, because moisture and water are things that really do affect electronics in today's cars. The same thing if your battery goes dead. You don't want to have Charlie, your next-door neighbor, come over and try to jump-start this car because you could let the smoke out of the computer.
Yep.
Same thing if you you have a computer in your house or a nice TV like most people have. The lights go out, you hook up your generator. We get what they call dirty electricity flowing into the house with a generator. It's not going to affect the refrigerators. It's not going to affect things like the oil heater, but it will affect computer products like the television and your laptop computer. Because a generator, the cheaper ones, yeah, they'll work and they'll put out the power, but they don't put out a nice, clean, fresh particular voltage. So you got to be real careful if you're going on to buy one. Just talk to whoever you may be buying one. Or if you want to have one of these generators, or if you already have one, you need to have a one of those little battery backups that the TV plugs into, and then that plugs into the wall, because the battery backup will help clean the dirty electricity coming in from the generator.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we're mentioning water on the engine, Junior, because when I was looking to do aftermarket upgrades to my car, one of the things I chose was to put an air filter, a cold air intake, in the engine. But I was, you know, I was warned, heavily warned before I did that, that after that was done, I had to be very careful about, A, what puddles I went through, and B, how much rain was getting into the engine, because that thing is always sucking air into it.
That would be correct. And what they did, like on some of the Hondas, Nissans especially, guys have put those downdraft air filter assemblies in that went in front of the passenger or driver tire. You hit a puddle, you suck the air, bingo, the motor hydro locks.
Yep.
And the engine then is usually pretty much discarded because it needs to be overhauled.
Yep.
Well, Junior, we want to thank you for joining us. Anything you'd like to say, my friend, in closing?
Just be real careful if you're going out to buy a car. I'd rather see you buy a one-year-old car than lease a new car. Some people don't understand. Leasing isn't for everybody, and you can buy a one-year-old car or even a two-year-old car with a good mechanical breakdown insurance policy to give you ease and peace of mind. But after you're done leasing a car for 2, 3, 4 years, what do you have? A bunch of rent receipts.
Definitely.
I'm not a proponent of leasing unless it's a business.
He is Junior D'Amato. We have him on every couple of weeks to check in with him in regards to new vehicles and some of the problems that we see. And we enjoy having you on, Junior. We'll look to have you back on in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Kevin, Mr. Rossi, we'll be listening.
Hopefully next time we talk to you, my car will be out in the parking lot.
Well, I think you ought to just invite some of the listeners down there to help you shovel the car out.
There you go.
All right?
That is
right.
Junior D'Amato joining us.
Stay healthy. I'm glad you're feeling better, Joe.
Thank you. We'll see you.
With locations in Hyde Park and Middlebury, check out Junior D'Amato. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we are expecting to speak with Congressman Stephen Lynch and comedian Tony V. Stay tuned.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.